Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. President Trump and congressional Republicans are celebrating today after the House and Senate delivered an epic overhaul of our tax laws. The GOP hails the package as a gift to the middle class, although the biggest tax cuts go to corporations and the wealthiest Americans. Dave Camp is a former Michigan congressman. He served in the House from 1991 till 2015. Tax reform was one of his main priorities. In fact, he served 4 years as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, which is the tax writing body of the House. He is now a senior policy advisor for PwC, and he is here with us now. Welcome.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
What do you think of this new tax bill?
Well, all in all, I think it's actually a positive move forward. It adopts much of the structure that I developed when I was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, particularly simplifying the tax code and giving a tax cut to most Americans. Now about 90% of Americans will be able to file their taxes on a much abbreviated form, so the record keeping won't be there. The hours of toiling over filling out the 1040 won't be there. So that's going to be a big benefit to individuals and families. And also, they've really adopted a pro-growth code, modernized much of our international tax system. And we really need to show the world that we're players in the world, too. And much of the tax codes around the world have changed significantly over the last 15 years. And so we really needed to update our system as well.
You said you had two goals that guided your years of work on the Tax Reform Act of 2014. The first was to strengthen the economy. Does this bill do that in your view?
I think it does. I mean, it really is what we call a pro-growth tax code. And one of the things they've done is that if you invest in equipment, you get to write it off completely. So that will help increase productivity. And when investment goes up and productivity goes up, more people get hired or they get higher wages. And one of the challenges we've been facing in our economy is a lot of companies have been merging with smaller companies and then their headquarters end up being overseas. And so what this does is really brings our tax system in line with where the rest of the world is. So that incentive will be greatly reduced.
Because certainly as far as reducing corporate tax rates, this bill goes even further than yours did. You wanted to cut rates from 35% to 25%. This bill cuts it to 21%. You think that'll be enough to keep these American companies from relocating overseas and bring those that left back here, plus encourage American companies to expand here? It's a tall order.
Well, it will. I mean, the reason I was at 25 when I started this, 5 years ago, was that was the average of much of the developed world, particularly in Europe. And so we were trying to hit that target. Well, since then, that number has gone down. And so they got to 21 to really, again, try to get this economy jump-started moving. And what I heard in we had over 30 hearings on tax reform when I was chairman of the committee, and what we heard repeatedly was if we can lower our tax rate to closer to where the world average is, the incentive for companies to redomicile or to relocate their headquarters to a smaller foreign company they've merged with, that incentive is greatly reduced. So will this completely stop it? Of course not, but it will make it much less attractive for companies to pursue.
Well, let's drill down on the auto industry, which, of course, as we know, is so important to us in Michigan. Automakers, auto industry and suppliers, they've moved to Mexico because of cheap labor there and talent shortages here. And we see other companies that set up in high tax states like California and New York because that is where the talent is. How does this bill help that, do you think?
Well, I think it helps in many ways. Obviously, reducing the corporate rate is significant for all manufacturers, and that includes the auto industry. And the global supply chains have been developed over, the last two decades. And so that's not going to change anytime soon. But I do think by having these companies be more competitive and be able to really compete in the world, which we know it's a global marketplace, and particularly we know it's a global marketplace in autos.
Yes.
I think that will be helpful to them.
The second goal you had, Dave Camp, was to make the tax code simpler and fairer for all Americans. Does this bill accomplish that goal?
It certainly does. By making a code that really requires that 90% of taxpayers will file the simple form by doubling the standard deduction, we saw that the compliance burden on filling out taxes for the economy, when I started this process, as I said 5 years ago, was about $6 billion. people hours a year, and now it's 9 billion people hours a year. So the compliance burden on the tax code for individuals and families, and let alone businesses, is huge. And so by doubling the standard deduction, most Americans, 90%, will be filing a simple, whether they can get it on a postcard, you know, more power to them, but it will be a page or two at the most.
I'm speaking with Dave Camp, who was a member of Congress for more than 24 years, where he served as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. He's now a senior policy advisor for PwC. Most nonpartisan analyses agree corporations and wealthy Americans are the biggest winners here. There are tax credits and standard deduction increases that will help a lot of Americans, but that's to the tune of hundreds of dollars, ranging to the low thousands, while corporations and wealthy Americans stand to see release in the hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. And the corporate tax breaks are permanent. Individual tax breaks expire at the end of 2025. Is this plan fair?
Well, the reason they were able to do that is because of what they're taxing and requiring that profits that have been held overseas under our current tax code are going to be required to be brought back. And so because they're requiring those dollars to be brought back, they're able to satisfy the Senate rules that this tax bill does not increase the deficit in the second decade. So some of the policy choices they've made are to fit into that process. But we have one of the most progressive tax codes in the world. And so whenever you do any sort of change at the top, you end up having a larger tax cut there because they are paying most of the taxes. But there are still significant benefits for all Americans in this bill. I think particularly there is a tax cut for virtually every income category, certainly in the early years. And as the Speaker of the House said the other day, Speaker Ryan, their intention is to make all of these tax reductions permanent.
So people just have to hope that that will happen by 2025.
We had this experience with the Bush tax cuts in 2001 and 2003, and they expired, and ultimately most of those were made permanent in 2012.
Just about every poll finds that Americans do not like this tax bill. There's just one, in pointing to one, the data journalism site 538 took polls during December and found the average approval rating for this bill was just 33%. Surveys find a large majority of people expect to see no personal benefit from this tax overhaul. What's this majority of Americans missing, do you think?
Well, because the bill is just final, they may not have had all the detail and been able to run the numbers on their personal situation. And when you do tax policy, you obviously are doing tax policy for groups of folks. But every individual have to make that calculation on their own as to whether this is a benefit to them or not. And that will come in the next few months. I think also what we'll see is, does this tax bill foster growth in the economy? And when the economy does better, Americans do better. That will come in the coming months, and either that will play out or it won't. You know, obviously, tax policy is one of the things that we can do as a country to help grow our economy and create prosperity for individuals and families. It's not the only thing, and it's not the be-all and end-all.
You gave a speech on the House floor December 11th, 2014, as you introduced your Tax Reform Act of 2014. And in it, you said, when you set out to undertake tax reform, you wanted to do it, in your words, the right way. And you noted that in 4 years, the Ways and Means Committee you chaired held over 30 public hearings and formed 11 bipartisan working groups. And you joined with a Democratic senator, then Montana Senator Max Baucus, in going around the country. You spoke with taxpayers. Why was it so important for you to approach tax reform this way?
I thought it was important to do it that way because I had come off the experience of the Affordable Care Act, and I don't think that significant policy is best done in a partisan way. But as you note, my bill didn't get enacted taking that approach. So I think that they looked at the current environment and know they had a president who was willing to sign the legislation and knew that if they, with this majority in the Senate, in the House, that under the reconciliation process, they had a better chance of getting a bill to the president that the president would sign. And I worked very hard to try to engage the administration on tax reform. They weren't particularly interested in pursuing that. And frankly, the leadership in Congress at that time were not particularly interested in it. And there was a significant change.
But when we think about the process we've seen play out in these past few weeks, no public hearings, very little transparency. I talked with Senator Debbie Stabenow last week. She said she very much wanted to be part of the process of crafting the bill, but the door wasn't open. to Democrats. And we even heard some Republicans in Congress say they didn't know everything that was in this bill. What are your thoughts about how this Congress went about tax reform? And could there be repercussions for Republicans for the way this was rushed through?
Well, I do think that they believe they were building on the work that had been done over the last few years. And so I think that many of the people that were on the Ways and Means Committee were on the Ways and Means Committee when I was conducting bipartisan hearings. And so I think they felt in many ways that there had been a lot of public vetting over these issues. And so I guess I would just say that a lot of these issues have been in the public domain for years. And a lot of the policymakers have been discussing them and debating them for a very long time. So I don't think a lot of the issues were new, but obviously when you get into specifics, some of those are going to be first impression. But, you know, it's a complaint. I suppose that there's never enough time to really review something this significant, so that maybe the concern they have. I think some of the international provisions, which are extremely nuanced and complex, I don't know that there ever is enough time to fully understand those, and I think it will take some time to vet those.
What would you like to have seen that is not in this bill?
Nothing really immediately comes to mind. I mean, obviously they did a number of things differently, I think at least in terms of addressing the concerns. Their emphasis was really on trying to create the most pro-growth economy that they could, and I think time will tell whether they were able to achieve that goal.
Dave Camp, member of Congress for more than 24 years and now a senior policy advisor for PwC. Thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
All right. Thank you. Take care.